My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, glad you're with us. This just breaking. The president announced that the Golan Heights is, in fact, Israel, which is huge to the people of Israel. We've been there so often now that when you actually spend the time and look at the small nature of Israel and how they're surrounded at times by, you know, hostility ever since their inception, going back to 48 and 67 and 73, and even today and just last week, of course, missiles fired into Israel from Gaza. This is a huge bit of breaking news. I'll even argue, again, the only president, so many promised that Jerusalem would be recognized as the capital of Israel. They promised Israel. They promised the American people. They never had the courage to actually get it done. This is Donald Trump being Donald Trump, keeping his promises. And in other news that I guarantee you won't hear today, a headline on FoxNews.com, ISIS caliphate has crumbled. Last stronghold has now been liberated. In other words, yes, the caliphate in Syria crumbled. And the final offensive is now over. And the official announcement just hasn't been made yet, but Fox News has been told that the village, the last ISIS stronghold, has been liberated. Now, this is the first time since we've been in Syria that they've gone five consecutive days when the dropping of bombs has stopped and the gunfire has disappeared. And the end of the caliphate is there, and the empire that ruled over 8 million people is now gone, and troops are now bringing down all the black flags of ISIS. The flags no longer fly over the town. The last 5 days, we've had our people on the ground at Fox News witnessing the last major offensive up close. U.S.-backed SDF forces attacking ISIS from three different sides and pushing these ISIS fighters back house to house, tent to tent, right up to the Euphrates River. And it's easy to see how they hid for so long, not just in tunnels, but trenches and hundreds of cubby holes that were covered by tarps, which blend in with the dirt. And in the end, the majority surrendered. In fact, since the start of the year, 60,000 have literally dripped into the desert, and most are now held in camps. And a major concern about what to do with the camps, though, but the SDF is asking the U.S. for support, setting up a tribunal there. And the final corner of the caliphate was in the far eastern desert of Syria, and it was where ISIS first captured territory and where they finally lost it all. And the clearing away operation is now underway. And an announcement is expected soon. None of the main surviving ISIS leaders have been caught yet, but instead they left their men to fight alone and thought they prepared ahead for the insurgency. Isn't that great? The leaders always go out themselves. You know, just like all of these radical Islamic terror groups, the leaders, they always send young kids with the suicide bomb vests on and with the promises of virgins in heaven. Why don't they do it? Why aren't they taking the risks? It's unbelievable. All right, so more success. Unbelievable. You know, this is the difference between Trump and every other president that we've seen in our lifetime. He just acts. He does, he acts, and he keeps acting, and he keeps fighting. just like the Defense Department was able to find $12.9 billion, as the president said, as part of his emergency declaration, that he now is earmarking to build the wall and doing his job. By the way, legislatively, we pointed out how he can do it. 10 U.S. Code 284, and of course, constitutionally, as the commander-in-chief, he has the right authority and, frankly, a sworn duty to protect our borders and the American people, and it's never been a manufactured crisis. It's just a talking point. Other interesting stuff before we get to the heartbeat of our show today, which is these 2020 candidates. This Democratic Party is just collapsing before our eyes. They don't even see it yet. They're almost caught up. It reminds me very much of what we saw in 07 and 08. One of the things we will be doing from now until Election Day, November 2020, is we're going to do the media's job. We're going to do the deep dive into every one of these radical 2020 candidates. We're going to tell you every single thing they've said, done, and positions they advocate for. We'll give you their background, usually lack of experience. It's funny. We sent our friend Lawrence Jones down to Texas, his home state, asking people in Beto's district, Robert Francis Beto Bozo O'Rourke, one of his accomplishments, because Nancy Pelosi couldn't name one the other day when the press asked her. And nobody that Lawrence talked to could name a single one.
Beto is the candidate that's running for president. What do you feel about him?
I feel that he brings a new perspective to politics.
His philosophy on how government should be run is a little, not going to say extreme, but kind of bordering on socialism.
I would vote for him if he ran against Donald Trump.
What would you say is his number one accomplishment?
Well, you know, I'm not terribly familiar with his congressional record.
Would you vote for him for president?
Absolutely.
So if you could name one accomplishment of Beto, what would you say?
I just think he's a real people person and he's gotten a lot of people behind him.
What would you say was his biggest accomplishment?
I don't know. I really can't say what his biggest accomplishment was.
I voted for him last time, but probably not for president. I don't think he's quite ready for that.
I like his idea about tearing down the wall.
If you could name one accomplishment of Beto O'Rourke, what would you name?
Almost beating Ted Cruz.
You think he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. What would you say is his biggest accomplishment?
Biggest accomplishment?
Yeah.
That part I don't know.
What would you say is his number one accomplishment?
Oh, heck. Can I say that?
You can say that.
Oh, no. I really don't know.
He doesn't have one, though.
Well, no.
He doesn't have one.
No.
Does it sound like a lot of hope and change? Does it remind you of anything? It is exactly, and it'll be the same with the media. It is going to be glowing Beto, Robert Francis Beto Bozo mania. That's what you're going to get. And the fact that we did this story last night, I can't even believe that I'm reporting on this. And, you know, beyond that, everything's free, but you know, you look at some of these candidates, and Beto O'Rourke said, yeah, I went to eat dirt after I lost to Cruz because I heard they had in New Mexico, and I even brought some dirt back to my family because I heard it had healing powers. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Wow. Imagine Donald Trump once saying, well, I after I built the building or after I didn't get the building permit, I went out to New Mexico, and I ate some dirt and brought some back for Ivanka, Don, and Eric, and Barron. I mean, imagine what the media would do with that. I mean, it's insane. There are some people that are sending up some flares to the Democratic Party in the mainstream media. And there's a Politico article today warning Democrats that Donald Trump is headed for a blowout reelection landslide. Now, it's way too early to decide. We don't even know what the issues are going to be. Well, we do know the radical views of the Democrats. That's going to be a big issue. Their lack of work in the next 2 years throughout this process. All they want to do is investigate Trump and predict that, you know, Trump is going to jail and he's going to be impeached. So we're going to get what we have. I think we're up to 8 committees now investigating Donald Trump in the House alone. But it is apparently an attempt to shock the Democratic Party out of this rigid, radical, extreme positions of theirs and Politico said if the election were held today, Trump would likely ride to a second term in a huge landslide. According to multiple economic models and with strong track records of picking presidential winners and losers. Credit a strong U.S. Economy featuring low unemployment, rising wages, low gas prices, along with the historic advantage of being an incumbent. And Trump appears to be making in a much stronger position than his approval rating and conventional beltway wisdom, what that might suggest. And he could wind up in trouble only if the economy slows markedly between now and the fall of 2020 and whatever other bombshells could come. They're going to throw everything they've got at him and as much money as they can muster against him. And despite all those caveats, Trump looks surprisingly good if the old James Carville maxim coined in 92, it's the economy, stupid, holds true in 2020. Quote, the economy is just so damn strong right now by all historic precedent, the incumbent should run away with it, said Donald Luskin, chief investment officer of Trend Macro Analytics. It's a research firm who has a model. His model has correctly predicted even Trump's 2016 win when most of the opinion polls did not. I just don't see how the blue wall could resist all that, he said at the time. And these models maintained by economists and market strategists like Luskin tend to ignore election polls and personal characteristics of the candidates. They begin with historical trends. I've said this for years. That's why you really can't make a prediction now. But people vote their pocketbooks. It's always about peace and prosperity. It usually comes down to that. I can tell you one thing. If the president keeps fulfilling his promises the way he has, and then you have all of these radicals on the left, you know, free health care, free college, free child care, free nursery care, free college, free vacations, free government guaranteed healthy food, no more oil and gas, no cars the way we know it, and eventually we get rid of cows because of the flatulence and the CO2 emissions, and airplanes too. You know, every time you hear free, you need to know something. There's nothing in life that is free. There's this mindset among Democrats that if they play on people's normal, natural fears of survival, because if people don't have a lot of money or don't have, and they're living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe they only have a month or two or three that they'll survive without a job, and people will always be worried, rightly so, and concerned about health care, and they'll be concerned about retirement, they'll be concerned about college, and then here they come, and all your fears have gone away.
But Sean.
Yes?
They'll have so much more time for art.
But that's what, yeah, don't worry if a robot takes over your job, because you'll have more time for art.
You'll be busy painting.
Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez is saying. Correct. And the problem, though, is never these promises are impossible. There is no chance these promises could ever be fulfilled. And they are setting, you think keep your doctor plan and save money is a big lie? When you say, okay, take over the energy sector, take over the healthcare sector, you know how that's going to end? In an unmitigated disaster that will destroy this country, make it unrecognizable, and be the biggest poverty producer we've ever seen in the history of man. We'll drill, baby, drill very quickly thereafter if this insanity ever got implemented. But that's what they want to do. That's what they're selling themselves at. And they're getting nuttier and nuttier. Politico's right in a lot of ways. But there's factors that we can't predict right now. You know, there are more than 34 million American smokers. Now, I bet that finding a satisfying alternative to cigarettes is at the top of your list if you're a smoker. Look, I've been there before. But after many years of smoking, I finally made the switch to Juul. There's no more worrying about the way my clothes smell, worrying about what people are going to say. With Juul, everything is so much easier. Now, Juul is a vaporizer that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. When I found Juul, it was a complete game changer. Now, Juul was designed by smokers for smokers. smokers to be an alternative to cigarettes. From its simple-to-use interface to its clean technology, well, Juul has no cigarette ash, odor, or mess. So if you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's nothing like you've tried, visit JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. That's JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. And warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. You know, when you compare the virulent anti-Semitism that we have been discussing, that the Democrats were too cowardly to condemn, well, they did it in their, well, we'll just condemn everything, but we won't mention Congresswoman Omar and the statements that prompted the whole debate and discussion. And you think of all the presidents that over the years had promised to recognize Jerusalem as the true capital of Israel, which it is, historically, like forever. And now the president today, in the last hour, see, I wonder what some of the Democratic Party's, radical anti-Semitic wing there, because we have a number of people, friends with Linda Sarsour. She's the one, by the way, that supported genital mutilation and Sharia. Why Kirsten Gillibrand ever got on stage with her, I don't know. Or Congresswoman Omar's statements and other statements. But, excuse me, well, now they're going to react to this because the president tweeted about an hour ago that it was time for the U.S. to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And that is now just prior to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who's set to visit Washington, D.C. We know that the prime minister, listen, we need very badly for Netanyahu to win this election. And like here, you have a press that hates the prime minister the way our press hates the president. And, he's in trouble for getting gifts of cigars. It's so stupid. But prior to Trump, he was the lone voice of moral clarity on the world stage that understood and understands radical Islam and terrorism. After 52 years, it's time for the U.S. to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is of critical strategic security importance to the state of Israel and regional stability. The reason I kept bringing up, by the way, thank you, Scott Shannon, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of this program. By the way, Project Veritas has struck again, proving election fraud and people voting twice. They got it all on tape, of course. And James O'Keefe will tell us all about it. We'll play it at the top of the next hour. So why is it important that Donald Trump recognizes Israel? What does that say about him when so many other presidential candidates promised they'd recognize Israel? Why did I tell you when the president saw that after 35 days of the government shutdown that, okay, this isn't working, they won't even talk? Even I'm trying to negotiate. I'm even offering them the things that they said was so near and dear to their hearts and precious to them, which was DACA, Dreamers. They say they care about furloughed employees. They didn't care. All they do, they don't want to ever give this president a win. They don't want him to be successful. This is, as this political article points out, it is, quote, the economy is just so damn strong right now, and by all historic precedent, anybody, any president with this record, any incumbent would run away with it, meaning re-election. A lot can happen. I wait till election day and the votes are counted. I'm just the way I roll. And yeah, of course, we have to worry about Broward and Palm Beach. I hope Governor DeSantis is fixing that problem down in Florida. I saw that defeated gubernatorial candidate Gillum is promising, we're going to register 1 million new people. Look at what the Democrats want to do. They want felons now to have the right to vote because they think they'll vote overwhelmingly Democrat. They want illegal immigrants, as many as possible, because they think they'll eventually vote Democrat. They want to lower the age of voting to 16 because they think younger people would would, you know, tend to vote Democrat. You know, they're even willing to, they want to get rid of the Electoral College, of course, because they think, then we're going to let New York, New Jersey, the hellholes that they are and have become because of bad government elected by the people in these states. I live in New York. You know what? New York would otherwise be a great state in so many ways. It's not, though. Why not? Because of liberal, leftist, socialist policies. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. Then the rich leave. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen if you tax individuals with a top marginal rate of 70% and corporations at 90%. And that you, as Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman or Ocasio-Cortez says, oh, and we're going to tell business how to run their business. Okay, nobody's going to build a business. Nobody will build a business under those in that environment. Or California, free health care for everybody, legal, illegal, resident, non-resident. Fine, if you get sick, Gavin Newsom has promised you free health care. Go to California, get your free health care, then go on home. And if, as I, and I won't go through the history that I went through yesterday of our Constitutional Convention and our framers, but they had a balancing act in terms of, very, very simple, because they had a lot of things that they had. They didn't want a big centralized government. They wanted it big enough that it would protect us, protect the American people. But, you know, when the Constitution was drafted in 1787, that they had a challenge that they had to rectify, a conundrum. How do you create a limited central government strong enough to defend its people against real serious threats, but decentralized enough to prevent the consolidation and subsequent abuse of power? Now, as I said yesterday and said last night, and I stand by it, the result was a constitution filled with checks and balances, shared power between individual states and the federal government. The Electoral College is a product of this system that gives states the power to conduct elections and choose the president of the United States. And I read you the quote last night from Thomas Jefferson. I won't read it again. Or I've read you the quote, you know, from Madison yesterday. Well, maybe I will read some of these. But as a result, every state has some power in determining the president. Now, the reason the Democrats want to get rid of the Electoral College is because without it, small states will have no impact in electing presidents. So that means big states like New York and California and Illinois and New Jersey, the worst run states in the entire country, they would be picking every president. So if you live in any of those red states, do you want the people of New York and New Jersey and Illinois and California picking your president? No. And that is what they, our framers in their wisdom, figured out. Or else there wouldn't be a United States of America without the Electoral College. Smaller states, smaller areas, you know, for example, New York City, 9 million people. You know, if you have a dense population, they would monopolize the keys to the White House. Everyone else would, frankly, be ignored. You know, and even Obama's campaign manager agreed with me on that. In other words, power would be totally consolidated, which is what the framers and our founders feared the most. What Jefferson said, that the morals, the health and liberties of man, writing about cities, they're that harmful. And for hundreds of years now, the Electoral College played an integral role in decentralizing this power and keeping the United States united. You think the people of Idaho and the people in Middle America, the Midwest, do you think they're going to let New York pick their, and California pick their president every time and not get sick and tired of it? Now, Democrats, okay, they want power for themselves. That's why every one of these proposals, voting at 16, every one of them, and getting rid of the Electoral College, stacking the Supreme Court, every proposal that they have, government-run health care, end of all private health insurance. Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez proposing, you know, we'll tell you how to run your business, a 90% tax on corporations. What business is ever going to invest any money in anything if they confiscate everything they have and all the means of production for healthcare? The government would run all the healthcare. Looks like they run education. Great job they've done with our government-run schools. Great job they're going to do if they take over the energy sector in the country. You know, government-run clean energy, okay, in 10 years. Government guaranteed universal income, $1,000 a month for every American. Government guaranteed retirement, vacation, healthy food. This is what these 2020 candidates and this party now represents. They want to control the means of production. That's what the new Green Deal is all about. Government aid for everything, for everybody. You give up all your freedom in the process, not something that most people think about. And every one of these bumper stickers, every one of these promises are false. Why do you think Obama added 13 million Americans to the food stamp rolls in 8 years and 8 million more to poverty in 8 years? Why has Donald Trump been able to remove millions of Americans from the food stamp rolls and the welfare rolls? And why has he been able to create nearly 6 million new jobs? Why are the manufacturing jobs that Obama said are never coming back? Why are they back? I mean, for the president to say to GM yesterday, hey, don't let this plant die. Get it going. And if you're not, sell it to somebody who will. It's stunning the number of corporations he's challenged. If you've got problems with bad regulations that's killing your industry, tell me what they are. I'll get rid of them so Americans can keep working. You know, there's a story in the New York Post today. New York is pricing us out. 41% of people in New York City can't afford life in the state. How much did Comrade de Blasio, Linda, if you're paying attention in there, you look like you're distracted, but how much is Comrade de Blasio? What did he offer in terms of the environment recent? $10 billion in investment?
$10 billion in investment and Meatless Mondays.
Oh, yeah. But what was the investment? Global warming. The investment was in global warming. Like, what?
Well, environmental efforts. It's his environment.
Well, spend the $10 billion helping the poor or something. It's insane. You know, just like him, you know, being, you know, the nanny state telling us our kids in school, meatless Mondays, no meat in any schools on Mondays. Well, why not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? You know, just like they, you know, Bloomberg, you can't buy a big gulp. Good grief. Get out of my life. Leave me alone. You know, the reason we have created, and I went through a lot of this last night on television. If you look at even the poorest of Americans, and I've been to some terrible places, you know, some housing districts. I told you the story about a young girl once died in a housing project when I was in Atlanta. I went to the housing project. There were cockroaches all over the place. One had lodged in this poor little girl's ear. She died. And there was a guy that I knew at the time that took me around to these different housing units. And I've been to the ones where my cousin was a cop in the Rockaways with the housing police at the time with the NYPD, where the housing police was separate from the NYPD. They've since united. But, you know, I'm looking at, look at this guy, Mr. Yang, and his proposals. Well, he's going to give every American a check every month. Well, by the way, the same guy, he's weighing in and the government will decide no circumcision anymore. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Please tell me you're making this up. Please tell me this isn't happening in the United States of America. Well, that's it. But they want to have the guaranteed $1,000 a month for every American 18 and old. Who's going to pay that $1,000 a month? Handing out money, no strings attached. Why is anybody going to want to create if you have nothing? Because high taxes and confiscation of wealth is going to end up, you know, businesses aren't stupid. They want to make a profit. They're going to work hard. They want something. Even the poorest of Americans, when you look at it compared to other states, nobody wants to be poor. We don't want Americans to be poor. I live paycheck to paycheck for well over a decade of my adult life. And I'm just telling you, there's no comfort there, but you want the ladder up. If you take the risks and you work hard and you play by the rules, you know, there's nothing government's going to do to help you except get out of the way. Incentivize businesses. The people that get hurt the most by all these promises are the poor and working class. You destroy corporations, control them, and tax them to death. They're not going to build use the free enterprise system, which itself has lifted more people out of poverty and created a higher standard of living than any other economic system in the world. That's what the 2016 election was about. Forgotten men and women in this country. Those are the ones getting off of food stamps and getting out of poverty by the millions. And they're the ones getting the 6 million jobs. And we now have an economy with a million jobs available, more than we have people on unemployment. Remember, our standard of living, even poor Americans. When I was poor, I still had a TV and a shower and a toilet. And I was able to cook in a refrigerator and a freezer. When you compare that worldwide, it's not ideal. But compare it to Venezuela, where they're eating out of garbage cans. Or Cuba, where they're driving 1956 Chevys. You know, 66% poverty rate in Latin America. Human suffering. What good has government control ever done? The best wealth creation system ever designed by man is here. It's capitalism. Conservatism encourages capitalism with fewer regulations, lower taxes, and incentivizes the creativity. The Latin derivative of education is educare, to bring forth from within. Well, that's predicated on a belief that God creates every man, woman, and child on this earth, and they are born with natural ability. It's different in every person, just like we all have our own individual fingerprints. But if you bring out that talent in a free environment, and you produce goods and services people want, need, and desire, and you make people's lives better, you're going to be successful. We have record low unemployment, record number of Americans employed, best wage growth in a decade, energy independence, first time 70 years. And now we're going to nationalize everything, get rid of oil and gas, the lifeblood of our economy. These people are nuts. But they're taking away all your fear. Anyone that promises you everything, run in the other direction. And all they care about is Donald Trump's style. Well, that style just got something big done in Israel. That style just got him $12.9 billion for the wall. I like an aggressive style. Yeah, maybe once in a while he could not fight with people, but I don't even care about that, to be honest. I want every American to have opportunity, working, health, prosperity, a good home, safe community, be able to buy a car, take a vacation, go out to dinner.
You voted for Higgins for U.S. Congress in New York and yes. Scott for Senate and Bill Rackus in Florida in 2018. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
They are a senior center, and they wanted to know, if I register. Mm-hmm. I says, no, not really. He says, do you want to register and vote in Florida? He says, yeah, why not? Or whatever affects my property over there, in Erie County, I'll vote. I'll vote for the congressman out there, the senator, if any. I'm going to pay my taxes. You represent me. I'm going to vote. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay your taxes.
Peter M. Gornicki is a prolific voter. In fact, he votes too often and in too many places. Mr. Gornicki lives on Florida's West Coast. We confirmed his registration and voting history with the Florida Board of Elections.
He's a registered voter.
He is. Mm-hmm. And he's on 228. Drive in apartment. Okay. Now, he is registered. And when was the last time he voted?
2018.
General primary. That's sort of, we're trying to target not just primary voters, not just general, but primary also.
He did both general and primary.
General, and he did it, do they, in person? absentee.
By mail.
According to the Erie County Board of Elections, Mr. Gornicki also voted in New York in 2018.
Peter Gornicki is one son road, and his date of birth is 40.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Excellent. Did he vote in the... Oops, he voted in 2018.
The general election?
He did.
Yeah, it was Scott versus Bill Nelson.
I voted for the Republican.
Who was the Republican?
It was Rick Scott.
Scott. Yeah. So you voted for
Scott,
not Nelson?
Nelson never did anything anyway for this area. You know, he just comes around when there's election time.
Mr. Gornicki says he also voted for Gus Bilirakis, who was running for Congress.
This guy, Gus Bilirakis, that's your congressman here, right?
Who?
I think it is. You know, I got to see him.
Bilirakis.
I got to see him.
Okay.
I got to set up an appointment with the guy.
Okay. Do you know if you voted for him in 2018, Bilirakis versus...
If he was Democrat.
Chris Hunter.
If he was Democrat, or was he a Democrat?
No, he was the Republican,
I
and he won, and Hunter was the Democrat.
I probably voted for him if he was a Republican.
Okay.
I pay property taxes in both areas. I pay property taxes in New York, and I pay property taxes in Florida. Now, if I pay property taxes in Florida, I should be eligible to vote for local election.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
End of case.
Yeah.
No sure. Taxation representation, right?
Yeah.
That's right. The way I look at it.
Mr. Gornicki says registering in Florida was a piece of cake, and no one asked if he lived and voted somewhere else.
When they gave you that card, they didn't even ask, right?
They didn't ask.
And that was from the Supervisor of Elections Department?
Supervisor of Elections gave me the card.
And they just said, what did they ask you? Like, do you live here? Do you want to vote? Are you registered?
Do you live here? I said, yeah. I said, I live here. You pay me tax? He said, yeah. Well, you want to vote? Yeah. Because I don't vote. And then he says, well, you want to vote? Here's your voting card.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. What you just heard there was yet the latest in a Project Veritas sting operation. And you have a New York Republican voting twice in the 2018 elections, casting a mail ballot in Florida. And the faces of voter fraud are far more widespread than we ever believed. For example, in the undercover video you were listening to, a New York resident, Peter Gornicki, admitting to voting for congressional candidates in both New York and Florida. Yes, I did, is his answer, voting for two different people, one in Florida, one in New York. I was at the senior center. They wanted to know if I'm registered. They said, do you want to register and vote in Florida? And sure, I want to register and vote in Florida. Why not? And then he justifies it by saying he pays property taxes in both states. I'm sure, knowing Project Veritas as well as I do, and James O'Keefe, their president, that this is probably just phase one of what is going to be a story that rolls out day after day after day. We welcome him back to the program. James O'Keefe, how are you?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Am I right on my prediction? There will be many, many days to come of examples of this type of fraud.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We are cross-referencing through double voting all of these different states, accumulating admissions of fraud, which we think are going to really shock people. Now, this guy, you hear a lot about voter fraud, oh, it never happens, it doesn't matter, and you hear a lot of circumstantial evidence. This guy actually admitted it. He said he voted for Congressman Higgins in New York, who's a Democrat, and then they went to Florida and also voted in those congressional elections. That's a federal felony. You cannot vote in a general election in two different states. It's also a state crime because he doesn't actually live in Florida. He lives in New York. He has a house in Florida. So this guy admits this on tape. And to answer your question, Sean, we've got so many more tapes coming. We're releasing the next one in a couple of days. And we're just going to rack up these admissions until people actually say, okay, this is an actual thing.
Well, I mean, you're not going to tell me because I've been down this road with you before. I mean, how many examples do you have or how widespread is this? Let's put it that way.
Well, I'll say after I came on your show last time, I made a pitch for people on the inside, projectveritas.com/brave, and I had election judges reach out to me and from all over the United States, including in Florida, which is how I got tipped off to some of this stuff. So to answer your question, we're going to go to places
the
like
only
Florida.
Thing I give you that recommendation, and I don't mind, you know, people that love to be courageous and undercover, and you know, I know you have lawyers that vet the legality of everything you do. How many lawyers do you now have on your staff? Like 15?
Yeah, 15. Exactly.
But I do think that others would like to play a little jujitsu with you and flip it on you and get their spies in your organization.
Well, you have to be a tremendously mission-driven person who behaves ethically, and we do have those attorneys. But the patriots don't have to. They don't break laws by you know speaking with us and telling us that there's fraud occurring. We make sure that everything is vetted by legal. But to answer your question, we're going to go across the United States. We're going to find the admissions. We're going to find the culprits. One of the upcoming videos, Sean, that we're going to be releasing, a guy actually, he didn't do anything wrong. This is a voter. He's saying, I vote in Florida. I no longer live in New York. But then he tells us someone, a mysterious person, knocks on his door and asks if he's there every year up in New York, where his parents now live. So we're trying to get these culprits, but first we're going to film the admissions of these people who are saying, I do indeed vote in both states. And in the video, Sean, we also filmed the Board of Elections in Pinellas County, Florida, admit to us on camera that they voted in the general election. People say voter fraud doesn't happen. We're finding hundreds of matches between these two different states. Hundreds of people are voting twice.
All right, but then we have, you know, what I don't understand is, for example, everyone's so against, you know, some type of identification. Now, I know yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, New Hampshire voted to allow illegal immigrants to get a driver's license. Doesn't having a driver's license enable somebody then to register to vote? And, of course, we have 2020 candidates pushing for, Kirsten Gillibrand is now pushing for illegal immigrants and their right to receive Social Security benefits and vote as well.
Well, that's the problem in places like New York, because there aren't going to be public policy reforms given who's in the state legislature. There's probably not going to be an effort to require a photo ID, but that's where most of the fraud that we're finding actually is occurring, because the person that goes to your, if you don't live in New York anymore, but you still are registered there, there are individuals who are going to harvest your ballots, and there are people going to show up to your home to make sure you don't live there anymore so they can vote in your name, and as long as there isn't a photo ID, they can continue to do that. However, what I found is that when we get admission after admission after admission on video, I think it's going to put some pressure on these state legislatures once we start getting more admissions.
How many states now do you think are impacted by all of this?
Well, I think a lot of it's New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, and Florida, because people are snowbirds. They go down there. I think it also happens a lot in California and places like Texas and Colorado, because Colorado is an absentee ballot state as well. But first, Sean, we have to acknowledge that there even is a problem. People say this doesn't exist. It's not even possible to have happened. Project Veritas first seeks to disprove that, and we're going to do that by getting admission after admission.
All right, projectveritas.com is the website. James O'Keefe, and if you're interested in being a part of his undercover work, investigative work, I think he played a huge part in the 2016 elections, especially all of these Senate candidates that he exposed, and one gubernatorial candidate. We appreciate the work you do. I know you come under a lot of fire for doing it. What's funny about that is everybody on the left used to love it when Mike Wallace and 60 Minutes did it, but they don't like it when you do it. So I guess things change over time based on your political point of view.
That's James O'Keefe. That's the tragedy in American journalism. Yep.
All right. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. All right. Let's head to our busy phones here. At the bottom of the hour, we've got a pretty fascinating story we want to tell you about. We'll get to that. Mike is in Longwood. Longwood, where? It doesn't say. Somewhere in Longwood, America. What's that? Where are you?
Longwood, Florida.
What's going on, sir?
Well, I had a question. You mentioned many times that both Strzok and Comey have said that the reason they started the investigation, or one of the reasons, was that Trump made the joke about, hey, maybe you can find the emails. Well, if they said that under oath, it seems to me that if somebody would pursue that line of questioning further, it would trap them, and they can get them for lying to Congress, because it's probably not true, obviously. And the reason is, and as you've also brought up, that Obama said, hey, I'll have more latitude after the election. No one's ever asked them why that didn't spark an investigation into Obama, or even if it did. We know it didn't. But the point is that it kind of captures them. You can't have it both ways. Either that sort of speak would cause them to investigate either or both or not.
You got to understand something in all of this is that it stinks to high heaven. And I spent a lot of time earlier in this program today and last night on TV, and I've been spending a lot of time, frankly, for the last 2 years going over exactly the dual justice system that exists in America. Now, Hillary, if you were Hillary Clinton, you did the thing she did. Even James Comey's lead lawyer, the general counsel of the FBI, thought she should be indicted for the Espionage Act.
Was Hillary Clinton ever a target or a subject during the investigation?
Sure, she was a subject of the investigation.
But not a target?
Correct.
And why was that?
Because we didn't develop substantial evidence to support a criminal prosecution against her.
So at no time she was ever considered a target?
Correct.
Okay.
But we now know it wasn't just the FBI that rigged the investigation. It was the FBI under the direction of Loretta Lynch and Obama's Justice Department. That we learned that through the testimony last week of both Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. But if we're gonna go after Trump with this vigor and this passion that they have, and you look at the mandate, which is any links, coordination between the Russian government, individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump, and any matters that arose or may arise directly from the investigation. Okay, well, then we've watched the process crimes go through over and over again. Where's the Mueller investigation into whether or not the Clinton campaign used a foreign agent, spy, to collude with Russia on her paid behalf and develop a dossier from Russia filled with Russian lies, now maybe even Ukrainian lies? And where's the investigation into that Russian dossier she paid for, you know, being used in a FISA warrant application and committing a fraud on FISA courts? And a campaign associate of Trump is spied on. They spied on the whole campaign by doing what they did. And that was the bulk of information. And where's the investigation into the coordinated effort of the State Department to use the dossier to take down Trump? Where's the Uranium One investigation? If Mueller cared about the issue, all of that would have been included, because this is where actual evidence exists. This is not the hysteria and the breathless reporting that says nothing that we've heard for such a long period of time. I mean, the fact that the media is so gassed up over Manafort taxes and loan applications and not registering as a foreign agent and Michael Cohen's medallions and taxes and loan applications, you know, it didn't get them what they wanted, but they could have gotten to the truth. They didn't. And that is, if we don't solve that problem as a country, justice is dead in America. And the foundation of our justice system is our Constitution. So that would just shred the Constitution. It's that severe a problem.
Our first order of business is to present Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award, Abby Johnson.
This is Abby. She's our newest volunteer escort. Abby, this is Cheryl D'Alessandro.
I'd be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
You'll actually be in charge of the abortions at your clinic?
I have a chance to make a real difference.
No matter what you do for the rest of your life, you're still going to be a baby killer.
And Lord, we pray to end abortion.
I really appreciate what you've done for us. I'll not forget it.
22,000 abortions. How do I even comprehend that?
Rough day at the office.
Say that.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. You know, one of the things that I am really finding in this era, which we will look back on as the end of the road for Hollywood, the monopoly of Hollywood and their formulaic you know, okay, we're gonna have Jennifer Aniston fall in love with this guy in this film and then break up and with this guy and get married in this film, then break up with him and marry this guy. And then, of course, we get the cartoons, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, all the Marvel comments, Avatar, and it goes on and on. And, you know, for a while, even when I had HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, all, I couldn't find hardly anything to watch. Sometimes, and I'd end up at like Nat Geo or the History Channel, or I love all that stuff. The American Hero Channel is another good one. And but now that you have Netflix, and now that we have Amazon Prime and Hulu and all these other choices available to us, what I've discovered is there are some amazing programs that have been put together. And the good part is a lot of them are topics that Hollywood never would touch, our good friend Mike Lindell. Anyway, so Mike partnered with people and put together a movie about Abby Johnson. Now, this is a person that worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years, working your way up the ranks to become the clinic director in Bryan, Texas. She, at the time, was Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year in 2008. But then she walked away from her job after witnessing the abortion of a 13-week-old fetus during an ultrasound-guided abortion. She left and instantly became a national news headline for her defection, which led to a pro-life speaking career. And in 2012, she founded And Then There Were None, the only ministry in the nation that helps abortion workers leave their jobs and find new ones out of that industry. And to date, she has helped nearly 500 abortion workers quit. She has a best-selling book, Unplanned, and this is what the movie that they just made is all about. And what I'm trying to say about this is a real-life story. Hollywood never would touch this story, just like Hollywood has ignored faith-based films for years. You know, look at the recent movie, I Can Only Imagine, based on the hit song. Over $100 million and still growing because people hear about it. They buy it on demand now that it's you can get it at your house. Other faith-based movies, you know, that have done so well. You know, Heaven is Real is another one. That is why Hollywood has now their better days, glory days are way behind them because people have been craving movies with information about stories that impact, that they learn something about, impacts their hearts, their minds, their souls, and changes them. And this is such a movie. And it's called Unplanned. And anyway, I want to welcome Abby Johnson to the program, as well as our good friend Mike Lindell. And Mike Lindell, by the way, you know, putting aside our relationship with MyPillow, has become a very dear friend. We just celebrated the fact that he was 10 years sober. His life experience is unbelievable. Spends a lot of money on charity, helping out a lot of people addicted to opioids and drugs and helping people get their lives back together. It's a ministry for him. And thank you both for being with us. It's, by the way, the movie's in theaters March 29th. We're going to put a trailer up on my website, Hannity.com. Mike, Abby, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, John. Thank you.
And I'm not kidding about the sheets. You really, they're off the hook. I don't know how you do it. I really don't because
I only come up with products that help people get great sleep. And it's not just it's about the money. It's about helping people. And if you'd use that in every product, we'd have an amazing country.
You see, I'm going to predict this movie it's going to be a movie that people go see. A part of it's uncomfortable, Abby. But your story is amazing, and I want you to go into, okay, so you're the Employee of the Year in 2008. You walk away because of this abortion you witnessed. Tell us about what you saw.
Sure. So I had been with Planned Parenthood for 8 years, was asked to come in and assist during an ultrasound-guided abortion procedure. Now, ultrasound guidance during an abortion, very uncommon, not standard protocol for Planned Parenthood. An ultrasound is used before the abortion begins to determine gestational dating, so the age of the baby, so that we knew how much to charge the woman for the abortion. But then the ultrasound is rolled away, not used again. But this doctor was, we had a visiting physician come in, and he was explaining to me that, you know, of course, it's safer for the patient if the physician can actually see what he's doing while he's performing surgery. And so he decided that he would show us what this looked like, this type of procedure looked like. And so I was asked to come in, hold the ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen so that the doctor would be able to, in his words, visualize his target. And
visualize his target, a baby growing inside a mother's womb. Okay, the target.
Yeah, and just so that everybody knows, just for clarification, by 13 weeks gestation, everything is formed on the baby. So arms, legs, fingers, toes, heart's beating, brain waves are active. Every internal organ that you sit here with today is already formed by 13 weeks. So,
you know, I want to add one point to that, Abby, is my niece just had a baby. My kids are 20 and 17, and the difference between sonogram pictures then, and again, my youngest is 17, and now, I mean, you basically see exactly what the kid looks like inside the womb. I mean, every detail. I think it's 4D. I don't know exactly what they say, but it's fully, you can see the full complete picture of every part of that child that's growing inside that womb.
Exactly, which is why Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers rail against ultrasound legislation that would require them to show a woman the ultrasound before her abortion is performed, because they know that the ultrasound exposes their lie. It shows the woman that inside of her womb is a living human being with a beating heart. And that's bad for business when your business is terminating unborn life.
When you saw it, what did you see? What was the reaction? Like, for example, I mean, we've had people describe that during abortions that the growing child feels pain. What did you see when it was actually happening?
So I could see the instruments going into the woman's uterus, and as they got closer and closer to the side of this child, they eventually touched him, and he began flailing his arms and legs as if he was trying to move away and find safety away from these instruments. And unfortunately, there was nowhere for him to go. And I just watched in horror as this 13-week-old child fought for his life, lost his life, and was dismembered piece by piece through a suction machine in his mother's womb.
Mike, let me ask you, I for years have not talked about the issue of abortion because I felt it was pretty much settled in most people's minds and people weren't going to be convinced one way or the other. I personally believe life begins at conception, my own personal belief. I have very good friends of mine that describe themselves as pro-choice. But when the Democrats now in 9 or 10 states, I think we're up to, when we saw the governor of Virginia describe and the House of Commons legislative woman who proposed this bill on the same day she proposed a bill to protect butterflies, ironically, where even during dilation, a woman should have the right, that's a full 9 months. She should still have the right to have an abortion, even though it's a fully formed, fully developed human soul. And then when the governor described, well, first we'll deliver the baby and then we'll make sure the baby's comfortable. And then if the mother will decide if we give any medical attention and aid or need to resuscitate the baby, and then we'll have a discussion after. I mean, that's infanticide. That is clear. And it's now become a big issue. The Democrats, why this is defining them is beyond any understanding I have. And every one of those people that I say are pro-choice that I know, When you ask them, they are aghast at the thought of allowing this to go to a ninth month and recognize that that is a viable child inside that mother's womb.
Right. And you know, Sean, this is last spring when I got involved in this and they called me up to have a cameo in it and then I financed a lot of it. And I said, you know, the message has to get out there. And then I said, this movie needs to be good. And it was it's awesome production too. Well, look at God's timing on this, of where we're at right now, what you just described, what's going on in this country. And I want to tell you, all the pushback we had, they gave it an R rating, which you know who is behind it. It's almost like the fix is in. We couldn't get advertising on certain channels. I won't name them, but we all know who they are. They wouldn't give us advertising on those to get the word out for this movie. And I'll tell you what, they're going to lose because we're going to look back on this sometime in our country and go, can you believe we were even doing abortions? It'll be down the road. I mean, this is the start of this is the turning point. And like you said, not just in Hollywood, but this is the turning point for abortion too. I mean, Abby's story and what she went through, this is going to be the biggest driver to get people go, really? But what, you know, to have it all in the public eye, so much, of a battle right now because of what these states are doing. Someone said it the other day, Sean, they go, how can a party be saving minnows in California but killing babies in New York?
Quick break. More of this movie. It is called Unplanned with the story of Abby Johnson and Mike Lindell, a friend from MyPillow, who funded this movie, and it's in theaters on March the 29th. We have a link on Hannity.com. Right, as we continue with Abby Johnson and Mike Lindell and this new movie they have coming out March 29th, it's called Unplanned. Well, I just think it's a movie that, again, Hollywood would never make. We have a movie transformation and a content transformation of independent people like you, Mike, and stories like Abby's that are going to now be told when it was never be told in the past. I want to thank you. We're going to put it up on our website, Hannity.com. It is called Unplanned, and it's out in theaters on March 29th. We'll remind you at the time. We'll put the trailer up on our website, and I just want to thank you both. And send me that copy as soon as you can, because I want to see it as soon as possible. Thank you both.
Thank you so much, Sean. I want to say one more thing, too. We're going to have a thing at the end of the movie where people can, they're going to actually be able to call to get counseling, people that have stuff on their heart from, you know, that they feel anything from before if they've gone through this horrific abortion.
That's unbelievable. All right. Good for both of you. And what a compelling life story. And I think this will move people's hearts in a lot of ways. And I've always said the abortion issue has got to become a heart issue. It's the only way you got to change hearts and minds. I don't think you win by yelling at people. All right. Thank you both. 800-941-SEAN. Quick break. We'll come back. News Roundup Information Overload is next.
Just from a campaign manager standpoint, when I ran President Obama's campaign, we would never go to a small state if there was no electoral college. You'd go to the major media markets. You would not go to Iowa. You wouldn't go to Montana. You wouldn't go to New Hampshire. You know, I think any proposal about getting rid of the electoral college, I understand the concern, and the concern is real that we've had two presidents get elected without winning a popular vote. But I agree with Charlie, that's not going to happen.
Beto is the candidate that's running for president. What do you feel about him?
I feel that he brings a new perspective to politics.
His philosophy on how government should be run is a little, not going to say extreme, but kind of bordering on socialism.
I would vote for him if he ran against Donald Trump.
What would you say is his number one accomplishment?
Well, you know, I'm not terribly familiar with his congressional record.
Would you vote for him for president?
Absolutely.
So if you could name one accomplishment of Beto, what would you say?
I just think he's a real people person and he's gotten a lot of people behind him.
What would you say was his biggest accomplishment?
I don't know. I really can't say what his biggest accomplishment was.
I voted for him last time, but probably not for president. I don't think he's quite ready for that.
I like his idea about tearing down the wall.
If you could name one accomplishment of Beto O'Rourke, what would you name?
Almost beating Ted Cruz.
You think he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. What would you say is his biggest accomplishment?
Biggest accomplishment?
Yeah.
That part I don't know.
What would you say is his number one accomplishment?
Oh, heck. Can I say that?
You can say that.
Oh, no. I really don't know.
He doesn't have one, though.
Well, no.
He doesn't have one.
No.
I'm here to tell you a profoundly positive story from the U.S.-Mexico border. We do not need any walls. $30 billion, 2,000 miles long, 30 feet high. It will not be built on the international boundary line, which is the center line of the Rio Grande River. That wall will be built well into the interior on someone's ranch, someone else's farm, someone else's home. You and I will be forced to take their property to solve a problem that we do not have.
Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, had a town hall last night, and she said that she thinks we should do away with the Electoral College. Do you agree with that?
I think that I'm open to the discussion. I mean, there's no question that the popular vote has been diminished in terms of making the final decision about who's the president of the United States, and we need to deal with that. So I'm open to the discussion.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. As we were discussing this earlier in the program today, so now Democrats, 2020 hopefuls, and the Democrats want to push the voting age down to 16, hoping that kids 16 years old. Why? Because they think it'll benefit them at the ballot box. It's the only reason that they are promoting it. And they want to stack the Supreme Court. And they are proposing this end to the Electoral College. Now, to just sum it up here, what they are doing here is an attempt to centralize all power and control of the American people. And that is now the new party line of this leftist, statist, radical, extreme, democratic, socialist party. That is who they are. Now, this is the biggest, most blatant, most dramatic, most frightening attempt to alter the United States of America in ways that if they have their economic plans in place, if they have their 70% top marginal rate for individuals, 90% top marginal rate for corporations, if they follow through with no cows, planes, cars, oil, gas, and government mandated healthy food and retirement and pre-K education, K through 12 education, college education, and retirement, and health care, but you can't choose your own, so much for being pro-choice. If that happens, and of course, they will control, the state will run everything related to health care. They will take over the entire health care industry. They will take over the entire energy sector. We will be dependent on these stupid ideas. And America will then become unrecognizable. Anyway, here to debate it, we welcome back to the program our good friends. Danielle McLaughlin is with us, and Jonathan Gillum is with us. Guys, welcome back. And I know you're probably, is there anything in the new Green Deal you don't support? Anything about 16-year-old votings, expanding the Supreme Court, changing the Electoral College? Do you support all that?
Hi, Sean. Hi, Jonathan. Actually, no, Sean. I think the idea of sacking the Supreme Court is a terrible idea. It's not going to require a constitutional amendment because you can have as many justices on the court as the Congress wants. But the idea that you're worried about conservative justice, so you want to add more liberal justices, I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's anti-democratic, and it will come back to bite Democrats if the court swings back to them, and Republicans want to do the same thing. On the 16-year voting age, I think most 16-year-olds can't clean up their rooms, let alone vote. But I will say this. Everything that Democrats talk about is talking about expanding voting. Whether 16 years is possible or not, they're talking about making sure people get to the polls. What Republicans are doing are trying to restrict voting, and I'm talking about gerrymandering. I'm talking about getting rid of certain days where people can get to the polls. What are they afraid of? I think more people voting is better, and I think it's going to be better for the Democrats in the end because, frankly, more people lean Democrats.
Jonathan, do you see this as the massive power grab that I see, that this is about control at a level we've never seen before?
Yeah, I do, Sean, and I do appreciate the fact that Danielle sees the light in this. I think there's a lot more liberals that are seeing the light in this. But you know, here's the reality. You know, most of the stuff that this new leftist Democrat party does is it's not for solutions. It's all for power grab. every single bit of it. I mean, and when you combine that with weakening of the military, which is, you know, now commonplace in their thought process, tearing down borders, it really has to make you pause. No matter which way you lean politically, it has to make you pause and ask, who is running and who is the puppeteer behind this Democrat Party? Because they're doing nothing but tearing down the very fabric of the strength and national security of this country.
Well,
John,
I mean,
there's no Democrat. Right. There's no Democrat saying we want the military to be weakened. Can you name a single Democrat who wants to give less money? I mean, one thing that Democrats are worried about is the president taking money otherwise earmarked for the military and putting it to the border walls because of his emergency declaration. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's
fair. I can answer that question for you very, very easily. It doesn't just come with somebody saying they want to do this. It's the way that the leftists have integrated into the military social programs, social engineering, where they know that if they get something like the transgender issue in the military, something big, they can do it there. They can change it in and start forcing the change in the citizenry. This is the way they use the military. They're not using it to, and Barack Obama showed this, they didn't use it to strengthen our national security and make sure that we're secure. They used it for social engineering. Along with that, and a lot of the money that they spend is going towards that. Now, along with that, the way that you see the breakdown of the military and the way that it was used, the way that they gerrymander the rules of engagement, the way they do these things, that's the way they change the military. And it's not.
Let me keep you guys focused on some issues here. I'm going to play a quiz game. But the only way it's going to work is you two have to give me pretty much yes or no answers to these. For example, question one, Jonathan, do you support Medicare for all, estimated price $3.3 trillion every year for 10 years?
No.
Danielle?
Oh, this is so unfair. This is a cross-examination. No, but would provide those.
You're against
it.
No, I don't. Okay.
No, I'm not.
Do you think we should have abortion in the ninth month, even during labor or even post-labor, like the governor of Virginia supports? Danielle.
I will.
It's not a fair question. I think that.
It's a fair.
They should be given care as their parents have requested.
So you support the governor's position, we'll deliver the baby, we'll make sure the baby's comfortable, and then the mother decides?
If the baby is born
Do you support the right of a mother to say no to medical care for a child after it's delivered?
Well, in consultation with a doctor who has told
So as long as the doctor says it's okay.
Live. Well, okay, I do trust the doctor. And
well, don't they have a Hippocratic oath that they have to follow? That's
of
not
course
effort.
They do. Of course right. they do. These are the kinds of decisions.
Jonathan, the answer for you is no?
Well.
Yeah, the answer for me is no, and I think I trust the Constitution more than I trust a doctor when it says that all life should be protected and that we have a right to life. And I believe that right, if science cannot tell us where life begins, then that life must be protected, and that includes all life.
All right, two long answers. Now we're going to go faster. All right. Do you support, as part of the new Green Deal in 10 years, eliminating all oil and gas use in this country? Danielle.
I don't think it's realistic, but I think we should lessen our reliance.
Do you support that goal? Would you want that to happen?
If we can get on renewables?
Yes or no? Yes. You support it? You do. Jonathan.
No.
Should we have a guaranteed job, medical guaranteed wage, guaranteed, family leave, medical leave, guaranteed retirement, guaranteed free health care for every person, whether they're willing or unwilling to work? Danielle.
To all of those things, no. Family leave, yes. The rest of it, no.
No? All right, Jonathan.
I don't think any of it's guaranteed, and I don't agree with the majority of it because none of it's worked out to benefit the American people.
All right. Is there any other parts of the Green Deal, New Green Deal, you disagree with, Danielle?
Yes. There's no way that we're going to be able to get buildings all green in this country within 10 years. I like the idea of it, but 10 years is never going to happen.
Do you think we should eliminate the combustion engine?
If we can, yes. I think we should be taking those steps.
Okay, yes. That's not it. They want to do, the goal is 10 years, no oil, gas,
10 years is not possible.
No cars, we retrofit every home, and then get rid of cows and planes.
Well, I think we could all probably eat a little bit less beef, I'll be honest with you, for our diets and for the environment.
Would you support eliminating,
the ideas are good,
would you support the idea of abolishing cows because of their flatulence and CO2 emissions?
No, I love cows. We still need cows.
And would you ever consider getting rid of airplanes?
I don't think it's realistic.
Well, I mean, I would like to know how we're going to get to Europe. Are we going to take a sailboat? And how are we going to get to Australia and Asia? Those questions have yet to be answered.
Elizabeth Warren had a town hall last night, and she said that she thinks we should do away with the Electoral College. Do you agree with that?
I think that it's, I'm open to the discussion. I mean, there's no question that the popular vote has been diminished in terms of making the final decision about who's the president of the United States, and we need to deal with that. So I'm open to the discussion.
We need comprehensive immigration reform. If you are in this country now, you must have the right to pay into Social Security, to pay your taxes, to pay into the local school system, and to have a pathway to citizenship. That must happen.
A universal basic income is a policy where every citizen in a country gets a certain amount of money free and clear to do whatever they want. So my plan, the Freedom Dividend, would give every American adult $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year starting at age 18. This would create millions of jobs around the country and would allow families and individuals to help manage this historic transition that we're in terms of technology transforming the labor force.
All right, as we continue, Danielle McLaughlin and Jonathan Gillum. You notice, Jonathan, I already know your answer, so I don't even bother asking you any of these questions. All right, do you think that Hillary Clinton should be investigated for Russian collusion now that we have knowledge and the dossier itself that she bought and paid for with funneled money, have put together by a foreign agent a dossier on Donald Trump that media outlets were fed and disseminated? Should we look into the collusion with Russia on Hillary's part? Danielle?
No.
Jonathan?
I don't know how you cannot come to the conclusion of yes. How can you not say yes? I mean,
it's really easy. It's really easy. Because I don't even understand the point about there being possibly Russian collusion. Chris Steele is English.
How do you?
And he was a vendor of a law firm.
If you can't say
it's Oppo
research. Can you say, how can you even entertain ever having collusion with the Russians if you can't look at the evidence at hand and say that everything about the leftist opposition during that election that's gone against Trump leads back to collusion between not just Hillary Clinton, but the Democrat Party and Russian operatives.
Putin hates Hillary Clinton. There's no way that Putin wanted Hillary Clinton to win, for many reasons, not least her position on the Ukraine. So there's no way that Russia wanted to support her, even if we had took all of the evidence out of this. They cannot stand
Putin
her. They did not want her
Russia.
To be president.
Putin is the head of Russia, but he's not all of Russia. There's other Russians to be.
We're going to have to end it there. All right, when we come back, wide open phones, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Quick break, right back. We'll continue. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel.
I'm here to tell you a profoundly positive story from the U.S.-Mexico border. We do not need any walls, $30 billion, 2,000 miles long, 30 feet high, that will not be built on the international boundary line, which is the center line of the Rio Grande River. That wall will be built well into the interior on someone's ranch, someone else's farm, someone else's home. You and I will be forced to take their property to solve a problem that we do not have.
All right, there it is. Robert Francis Beto Bozo O'Rourke and his radical positions. I never heard of a candidate that actually, after losing an election, decided he's going to eat dirt. Unbelievable. All right, joining us, a quick hit here with Andy Biggs of Arizona. Looks like the president got, what, $12.9 billion for the wall in unused monies from the Department of Defense, as he said he would. I'm sure there'll be court challenges, but in the interim, he still has all the other monies that he got. That would fund more than half the wall, 500-plus miles of the wall that he's planning on building. And then hopefully in the next appropriations bill, he can get the other 8.6 he's looking for. But looks like the wall's going to be built one way or the other. And, you know, in spite of everybody being against it, it's going to happen. And Beto wants to break down every wall we have. Your reaction, Andy Biggs.
Yeah, Sean, thanks. I'll tell you, my reaction is that Beto is all wrong. I mean, the numbers that are coming across the border, 86,000 people released into the interior. We're going to get another 100,000 people interdicted in this month. To say we don't have a problem and don't have a wall, it is, you're not believing your lying eyes is what the problem is. And that's it. We have people on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats. They are saying there is no problem. And because they won't even acknowledge the problem, we're not going to be able to resolve this with them. We're going to have to do this alone. The president's going alone and with some support from Congress. But we got to build that wall. And we've got to do more than that.
Well, the wall's going to get built. The wall is getting built. And the president is just, you know, if he has to change plan A and go to plan B or plan C, I don't see the president backing down at all. Now, you're down there at the border. Hundreds of miles apparently have been repaired. And about how many miles are being built even as we presently speak?
They're working on a section of wall. I'm not sure how long it is, but there's, by the time he's done, we will get about 250 to 280 miles of wall, and we need that. And then we also have to, Sean, most people don't realize we're building this on American soil. So somebody gets up there and is hanging on the fence. The Border Patrol agents have to facilitate them because they have to get them off the fence. And the people say, I want asylum. And this is so we've got to take care of the fence. We've got to take care of that asylum law that is just horrific.
Well, I thought Mexico had agreed that while people were waiting for asylum, that they would keep them there. What happened to that plan?
They're keeping some of them, but we are still getting the lion's share of them over here in the country. We can't keep them. We've got too many of them. And there, it used to be you might have 5,000 people a year that are claiming asylum, and now you're getting a couple hundred thousand or something. And our facilities just don't have enough, and Mexico's not keeping them all over there. And so it remains a serious problem, and people like Beto O'Rourke do not help this country by saying there's not a border problem.
Well, to me, I think how could you say there's not a border problem when 90% of heroin comes in that way, and fentanyl, and the gangs and cartels, and 4,000 homicides in a two-year period, and 30,000 sexual assaults in a two-year period, and 100,000 violent assaults in a two-year period? How do you make that argument with a straight face? Unless you're really not only eating sand like Robert Francis, but you're also swallowing it all and you're putting your head in it.
Well, Sean, here's the thing. If you talk to Democrats on a one-on-one basis, they're going to tell you that part of their problem is they don't want President Trump to get a political victory. They're placing political animus of this president over the security of the American people. That's inexcusable. It's unconscionable. And American people have to rise up and say no. So that's one thing. This other thing is they refuse to change their narrative. They refuse to adjust their political narrative. And quite frankly, none of them even come to the border. I mean, Beto's supposedly down on the border, but guess what? They've got a fence down in El Paso, and he doesn't even want that fence. So you know, who can explain what's going on in his head? The rest of the Democrats, we can't even get them to the border. I'm taking another group of congressmen to the border, and no Democrats will come with us. They don't want to.
No, I will tell you, they don't have a clue, or they don't care, or they're with the bigger agenda is, of course, you know, you have some people that want cheap labor, and those are Republicans that are perfectly fine with open borders historically. Then you have people say, well, they're more likely the people that come into the country because we're offering everything free now. Maybe they'll like us because they don't have a lot when they come in. So if everything's free and Kirsten Gillibrand is saying, well, we're going to give you Social Security benefits and you haven't lived here and you didn't pay into Social Security, well, great. So that's my guess. All right, Andy Biggs, thank you. Appreciate it. And
Thanks, Sean.
Have you back. We have to have one fun call today. Velma in Vegas. Velma, please tell me the drum set is finally complete.
Finally, yeah.
It's finally.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sean.
Well, I sent a drum set. Now, who got that, Marcel or Anthony?
Anthony.
Okay, and what did I send Marcel?
You sent God, he addicted to a PlayStation 4.
Okay, because I adopted your two children. I'm like their uncle. I just declared myself to Uncle Sean, the great kids. I've met them many, many times, and I give them Christmas presents every year. We had a problem this year where the whole drum set didn't show up, right?
Right. It didn't. And then they kept saying it was coming, right. And it didn't show up. Then I, talked.
Do you have any idea how much angst I gave my team over the drum set not being there complete and on time?
I can imagine.
No, you can't imagine. Heard me mad. I was mad because if I make
you
a promise.
Were mad, but you told me you were mad.
Because if I make a promise, especially when you make promises to kids, you got to keep them. So Marcel gets his promise fulfilled, and maybe I mixed it up. Who got the PlayStation?
Marcel.
Marcel. All right, so Marcel gets his, but Anthony didn't get his, and Anthony's saying, what is Uncle Sean like Marcel better than me, which I do not. I like them equal, love them both equally.
I know it. Marcel got his quick. They came, that some of the drum set came, but not all of it. The cymbals, the stand, the seat, stuff like that.
Yeah, but it was all ordered.
When I sent you a picture, I just sent you the boxes. See, we hadn't actually opened it and put it together.
And but the problem is you didn't tell me until like a month after Christmas that it wasn't all there.
I waited for you to come off vacation. I wasn't going to bother you.
Well, that's something to bother me over.
Sean.
Velma, you should have bothered me.
Well, no, because you're busy and stuff. And
I'm not busy when I'm on vacation. I'm not busy. I'm not doing anything when I'm on vacation.
Oh, yeah, you work all the time. Yes, you are.
Well, I try and read books and chill out and get my mind a little slower for a while.
That's good.
Are the boys behaving?
Sean, those kids are so big. Anthony is so grown up. His voice has changed. I mean, they've grown up so.
You know what's next, right? The next thing's going to be girlfriends. Then it's going to be.
Those are handsome boys. The girls love them.
And they are handsome, of course. So they're going to be dating girls. You know they're probably going to be drinking a little beer occasionally.
Sean,
you know that's going to happen. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for?
It'll be a while before they're dating.
It's going to happen. What are you going to do when they start dating girls and start drinking some beer behind your back?
Are you serious?
Am I serious? Yeah, serious as a heart attack. Yeah, I'm serious. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm praying.
Well, I mean, there's really, and it gets to a point, I can tell you, you don't have the control you think you do anymore.
I know.
You just don't.
We hang in there, though. I tell you, me and my husband, we hang in there.
Right.
I mean, we're
just make sure, are their grades good? They're doing well in school?
Oh, yeah. Grades are doing good. Now, their attitude sometimes, and stuff like that. Because I teach my children, they kind of like me. They talk.
A lot. You talk a lot.
Oh, look at you.
That's a good
point.
Like,
you don't talk a lot.
So I get paid to talk. That's what I do for a living.
Well, listen, I talk because I have things to say.
Well, what do you think I'm doing? Jabbering him? The country's going to hell if this new Green Deal ever gets in place. And, they're trying to destroy our president. And they're abusing power and the most corrupt. The biggest case of corruption in history. They tried to steal the election. They rigged Hillary's investigation. She should have been charged and found guilty, in my opinion. The evidence is overwhelming.
Okay, Sean.
Okay, Velma.
Okay, I still love you.
Repeat after me, okay? Donald Trump is doing a great job. Repeat after me. Say it.
Okay, who's doing a great job?
Donald Trump. Go ahead, say that. Say Donald Trump, our president, is doing a great job.
I am not saying that.
Well, we have record low unemployment.
I love you, Sean.
Record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace.
I don't know about that.
Well, you listen to my show. You should have this etched in your brain by now. I'm going to make sure the boys end up being conservative by the time they get older. They're gonna come to their Uncle Sean, and Uncle Sean will explain.
You have brainwashed those children.
I don't have to brainwash them. They'll get a job and see that, 60 cents of every dollar is taken by the government, and they're going to say that's unfair.
Let me tell you, they showcased them at church on Sunday, and Marcel Anthony with his drums, and Anthony told me that he's going to learn how to play drums, and he's not going to charge the church nothing. He's going to do it for free.
Okay, good. Maybe he'll become a musician. Maybe he's talented.
Yeah, and then Marcel, he won his championship in basketball.
So
that's
awesome.
They showcased him Sunday at church.
Well, maybe the next time I'm in Vegas, I'll go to your church and you can showcase me.
You said that again. You said that before. I would love that.
Yeah.
Sean, you know what?
But you told me that your girlfriends at church don't like me.
If I die tomorrow, I want you at my funeral.
Oh, good. Are you serious? You want me at your funeral if you die? Do you want me to talk at your funeral?
Yeah, you can talk.
Oh,
gosh. I want you there with the children.
I hate funerals and I hate weddings.
I know I hate funerals too, but what did I just say? Those kids love you. And they will need you.
Linda, help me out here. How do I answer
Sean, I actually think it's a beautiful idea. And Velma, how are you, my love? Velma,
but you have to make it on a Saturday. I can't take a day off.
Okay, first of all, we're not planning Velma's death around your schedule.
If I die, you going to talk about what you guys can't take off?
You do want me to speak.
Well, only if you die on a Saturday, Velma.
Do you want me to cry or do you want me to be funny?
I want you to be real.
If
I die?
Of course I'd feel sad if you die. Of course I would. And by the way, I'll tell you, I'll even...
Hey, Velma, can I interrupt for a minute? Velma, I have an idea. What do you think about this? What if we have Sean sing Amazing Grace?
I can't sing. Don't even start. No, but I'll speak at your... first of all, don't die on me because I don't want to do it.
Sean, you're younger than me. I'm going to die before you.
All right, Velma... Linda said she's going to speak at my funeral.
An idea. Why don't you guys go off into the woods together?
Yeah,
that would be nice.
Listen, if I had an incurable disease, I talk about this all the time. I'm not going to let my kids, you know, feed me applesauce and shower me and clean me up after I go to the bathroom. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to allow my kids to do that.
Your family wants to be with you.
No, they don't. Nobody wants to do that. I want them to remember me as I was alive, not me dying in a bed and eating applesauce fed to me. No, I don't want that.
You may not. The Lord may not take you through that. You may just die.
I might just die. And you know what? And I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to say, I got way more than I deserve. I know I'm in the other place. That's what it'll say.
Right.
You know, as uplifting as this segment is, it has to come to an end, Sean. You have to read it. And Velma, thank you.
Now, Linda is going to speak at my funeral, she said, right?
That's right. I'm going to do a eulogy.
And what did I say? I said, you only get to speak. There's one rule.
What's the rule?
You know the rule. You should know the rule. I've told you.
Well, this is your show. I didn't want to stomp on your moment.
No. What's the rule?
The rule is no crying.
No crying.
And curse as much as possible.
And curse a lot. And piss off the preacher.
There you go. It's going to be great.
Just be Linda.
No.
Well, by the way, Velma, if I die, you need to fly out and hang out with Linda, and there's going to be a lot of booze at my party.
Listen, after we get through crying now, you know I'm going to be crying. Something happened to Sean.
Oh, my gosh. Listen. Don't waste any tears on me. It's a waste of time.
I mean, I know, I hope and pray, because that's what I'm praying for every day.
Okay.
That you meet your...
Now that you're going to force me to one day go to your funeral, which I'm dreading and don't want to have happen, I am praying that God takes me first. How's that? So then I don't have to do it. One less obligation in my life. All right, tell the kids I love them. Their Uncle Sean says hi, all right?
Okay. We love you, Sean.
Bye, Velma.
Bye-bye, Linda. Love you, too.
And you're going to make people laugh at my funeral, right?
Oh, it's going to be a grand old time.
Do you know what you're going to say already?
Absolutely.
You know, at the end of the day, when you really think about it, you don't own your house. You don't own your car. You don't own your clothes. You don't own anything. I don't care what anybody says. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. James Comey's opinion piece in the New York Times. Somebody's got to tell the truth. I will break this down in a special monologue tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern. Also, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is on the cover of Time Magazine and also going after Jamie Dimon. Tonight, 9 Eastern, set your DVR on Fox News. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow.